My lesson tonight is entitled Faith and the Human Condition, with a subtitle of Help Thou My Unbelief. And our lesson is found in the 9th chapter of the Gospel of Mark. And if you have your Bibles and want to read along with us, I want to read some scriptures found there, beginning with the 19th verse. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, "What question ye with them?" And one of the multitude answered and said, "Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, but they could not. And he answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tare him. And he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming. And he asked his father, How long ago since this came unto him? And he said, Of a child. And oftentimes it cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. And that's reading from the 14th down through the 24th verses of that 9th chapter of the Gospel of Mark. You all know that I'm not comfortable with clocks and I'm not comfortable with outlines. So you pray for me tonight that the Lord would help us. We have been, back in November, we studied about women of the Bible and their faith in God, and I enjoyed every one of those lessons. We read in the Word of God about men and women of faith and the things that they were able to accomplish with the help of God. We've known people in our lives of great faith, if that's the term to use. And we have read even of our forefathers and the things that they have done in days gone by. But my lesson tonight doesn't deal with the faith of men and women in the Bible, and it doesn't deal with the faith of our forefathers. It doesn't deal with the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. But my lesson tonight deals with something that no doubt you and I both have wrestled with. And that's unbelief. This father cried out unto Jesus. He said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And no doubt that could be the cry of each one of us at times in our lives when we have no doubts or fears of what God can do, but sometimes we wonder whether He can do it for us, whether He can help our situation or not. I believe that this father no doubt had heard about Jesus and heard about the things that he had done, but maybe he was concerned about his own personal situation, and he had a little doubt about that. And so as we think about this tonight and we think about unbelief, certainly, you know, a lot of times we talk about having weak faith or a lack of faith. And I guess my concern was, in looking over this lesson, was what causes these things? What causes a weakness of faith or a lack of faith or even doubting? And in thinking of that, I come up with a couple of things that may be of help to us. One of them is fear. And we find over in the 14th chapter of Matthew, we find the story of Jesus and Peter. They was out in a ship, or Peter and the disciples was in a ship, and we find that Jesus began to walk towards them on the water. And whenever they realized who it was at first, no doubt they thought it was a spirit or a ghost. But Peter cried out and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come." And the Lord bid him to come, and the Bible tells us, and I have no reason to doubt it, it sounds impossible through science or through common sense, but the Bible says that Peter stepped out of the boat and he began to walk towards the Lord on the water. Not long after he stepped out, I suppose, we find that the winds and the waves of the sea begin to get boisterous. And as Peter took notice of those things, the Bible said he began to sink. And when he did, he cried out, "Lord, save me." And I thought about how that here was a man that exercised great faith, if you will. He stepped out on the water having no fear whatsoever. But as soon as he began to notice the things around him, his faith began to diminish. It began to go down, begin to weaken, if you will, and he became more concerned about what was happening around him than he was about keeping focused on the Lord. And you know, I think a lot of times in life we get overly concerned with the things around us and we don't stay focused on the Lord, and then we become fearful. A lot of times, you know, we read in scriptures and we experience in life things that happen, and people become afraid. And when they do, then they begin not to trust in the Lord and depend on Him. I think another thing that can cause unbelief is sin. We read over in the Roman letter, the Apostle Paul was making the statement, and I've got it written down here. In fact, I'll just go ahead and read it. He said, "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." That's certainly a tongue twister, and I've got to read it slow and careful to say it right. But basically what Paul was saying was, whenever I want to do good, I end up doing the things I shouldn't. And the things that I know I shouldn't do, sometimes I do those. Paul was saying that it was his desire to do the right thing all the time, but being in this flesh, that's susceptible to sin, that was created or fashioned, if you will, in sin. The Bible says that we are all conceived in iniquity and were born into sin, and we find that because of that and the sin that Paul had within him, he found a struggle in trying to do what was right. And you know, as I think about that, and we think about our lives, we find that even though we may have a great desire to do the right thing, to do what God would want us to do, there's always that gnawing of sin within us that can lead us to do something that we should. So certainly sin and fear can cause unbelief. And when we get to a condition, this human condition of ours, when we get to a place of unbelief, we're beginning to walk down the wrong path. We're beginning to see things happen that shouldn't happen. Because unbelief, it can produce weakness. Paul wrote over in the Ephesian letter, he said, "Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Now, you go over and read that sixth chapter of Ephesians, and you'll find that Paul made a list of things that we should have in our Christian armor. But he said, above all, take the shield of faith. Now, I don't know a whole lot about warfare, but I would think that a shield is a defensive weapon. And I would think that if there's somebody attacking me from the front and I hold my shield up, I'm going to be able to withstand their attack. But now if somebody's attacking me from behind, I've got to be aware of that in order to turn around and defend myself from behind. And as I thought about that, I thought about how that even with the shield of faith, we've always got to be on guard. And we've always got to be looking around. Because you see, the devil and his adversaries or those that work with him, they don't play by the rules. And certainly you may be standing on guard and ready for anything that comes. But friends, the devil will sneak up behind you and he'll get you before you know it. So Paul said in order to avoid being weakened by Satan, that we need to, above all things, take the shield of faith, be on guard, and be watchful for the things happening around us. Another thing, not only does unbelief come about by fear, but unbelief can also produce fear. If you remember back in the Old Testament, how that God used Moses to deliver the children of Israel out of bondage. And he had promised them a land of promise, a land of rest, a land of opportunity. And as they traveled from Egypt to this promised land, when they was just at the verge of it, we find that Moses sent 12 spies in to spy out the land. And they came back and they gave their report. They even brought back evidence of the land. And they said, certainly it's just like we've been told. It's a land that floweth with milk and honey. But they said there's giants over there. And that there are a large number of people. Why, they're just like grasshoppers. They're everywhere. And 10 of those 12 men brought an evil report. And we find over in the book of Numbers that it says that Caleb steeled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Now here was a man, I believe, that was depending on God and trusting in Him. But we notice that the other man, it says, that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report upon the land. And no doubt they began to spread that report around throughout the camp, and it brought fear upon the people, and they was afraid to go in and trust God. No doubt a lot of times the devil likes to discourage us with fear and with trouble, saying it can't be done. Friends, and no doubt it was impossible, but I believe that God said that if He be for us, who can be against us? Another thing that I believe unbelief can produce is a lack of God's power. And certainly I believe today we live in a time when we are lacking God's power in our churches. I'm not saying that it's not there. I'm just saying I don't believe it's as strong as it was in days gone by. We find that when Jesus one time came back to Nazareth, his hometown, if you will, that those people there, they begin to question and they begin to say, is this not the carpenter's son? Is this not Mary's son? In other words, we know this individual and we know his family. And the Bible says that Jesus that he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. In other words, they didn't trust that this carpenter's son was the Messiah. They didn't believe that this little boy that grew up in Mary's home was the promised one of God. And because of their unbelief, my friends, the power of God wasn't exhibited there in Nazareth. And I believe that they missed out on some great blessings there because of it. And no doubt there have been many people because of unbelief that have missed blessings from God. I remember back over in the book of Numbers, once again, we find that as Moses was traveling with the children of Israel, and I believe that Moses was trying his best to depend on God and to trust in him and to follow him to bring this great nation to the land that God had promised them. And we find that on one occasion that Moses was told by God to speak to the rock. You see, the children of Israel were complaining that they had no water. And God instructed Moses to go and speak to the rock. Now, on a previous occasion, we find that that the people had complained for a lack of water. And God had taken that concern, or Moses had taken that concern to God. And God had told him to strike the rock. And when he did, we find that God blessed them with water. And I don't know Moses' mind, what he was thinking here, but perhaps he thought that because I struck the rock before and it produced results, I'll do it again. I don't know if that was his frame of mind or not. But we find rather than speaking to the rock, rather than speaking to the rock, that Moses smote it twice. You know, a lot of times we think because something's been done this way or that way for so long that it's always right. But I'll tell you what's always right, and that's following the Lord, doing what He says. Even though it may be different from what Grandma and Grandpa done, if it's what God says do, that's what we need to do. And we find that because Moses disobeyed God, the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron and said, because ye believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. You see, I believe that Moses missed a great blessing there by not obeying God, by not believing God, by not trusting Him, but trusting in his own abilities, trusting in what worked before. Listen, I believe that even the apostles struggled with unbelief from time to time, and certainly they struggled with unbelief of the resurrection. Here was their leader, if you will, the one that had called the fishermen from the seashore and the tax collector from his position, and all of these others, and they had followed him for 3.5 years. And they had seen him perform miracles. And they had heard his teachings. And a lot of times they didn't understand that. And he told them, one day you'll understand everything that I'm saying to you. You might not understand it now. But we find that that whenever that Jesus was crucified and laid in the grave, that on the third day, he rose from the dead. I'm thankful for that this morning because that secured my salvation. I'm glad of that. But now the apostles, whenever Mary Magdalene came back and reported unto them that he was gone, that he wasn't there, they didn't believe her. It says, afterwards he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. There's several things, my friends, that when we become doubtful, when we become weak, when we don't believe or trust God's word, there's a lot of things that can happen in our lives. We can get weak, and we can get fearful. We can see a lack of God's power in our lives and in our churches, and we can miss a lot of blessings. And it's not long, my friends, when you start down that path, that you'll even begin to deny the truth of God's word. But listen, thinking about these things, you know, there's got to be a way we can overcome this. There's got to be a way that our faith can be strong, and we can depend on God. We can see His power and His blessings manifested before us. And thinking about those things, we must not be afraid to confess our weaknesses one to another. You know, the Bible tells us that we're to confess our faults one to another. And you know, when we feel weak, when we have doubts, certainly we shouldn't be ashamed and we shouldn't be afraid to get up in our church and ask that church to pray for us that we might be stronger. Because I believe in prayer. And I believe when we have needs that we need to pray for one another. And certainly we can help one another. But listen, Jesus told us that it only takes faith the size of a grain of mustard seed. You know, it doesn't take a lot of faith to produce great things for the Lord. You know, we read about these people that, these women that we studied about in November, and we read about men in the Bible that done what we might consider great things. No doubt the world would consider them fairy tales. They would consider something like that to come out of a comic book. But it didn't. It come out of the Word of God. And it's true. One of the writers tells us that Elijah was a man of like passions such as you and I. You know, these men and women in God's Word, while they wasn't superheroes, they didn't have extraordinary or superhuman faith. They were just common folks like you and I that trusted in God and depended on God. We find that Elijah prayed that it wouldn't rain, and friends, it didn't rain. He was dependent on God and trusting in Him. It wasn't Elijah that stopped the rain, but I believe it was Elijah's prayer. And you know, it wasn't the church that saved my soul, but friends, I believe it was a church of praying that got me to the place where I could trust the Lord. So we need to consider these things. The Bible also tells us in 2 Corinthians that we are to examine ourselves to see whether we be in the faith and prove ourselves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? You know, when we begin to examine our hearts, and we begin to, I believe, my friends, that when an individual is saved by God's grace, that the devil might be able to cause him to doubt, and he may be able to run him back, but I believe that you can only run so far. If you've been saved, there's a time and a place that you can go to, that you remember, that stands out in your mind when something happened that was different from anything else that's ever happened in your life. I believe, my friend, in an experience of salvation, in a time and a place that you can go to. And it's not just a time when the preacher baptized you. It's not just a time when you walk before the church and give him your hand. But it's a time that, my friends, you got under conviction. You found trouble and sorrow, as David said. And the pains of hell got a hold of you. And you called on the Lord. Oh Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Now you may not have said those exact words, and you may not have said any words, but my friends, your heart was crying out in that manner and pleading in that way. And God, gracious He was to hear that prayer. So we need to examine ourselves to see whether we be in the faith or not.
And friends, if we are, then greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. We can trust in that, and we can depend on that. Judges tells us that we must build up ourselves on our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. I said Judges, that's in Jude. That's what I get for abbreviating. Jude tells us to pray in the Holy Ghost that we might build up our faith. And as I said earlier, I believe in prayer. And I believe, my friends, if you're having doubts, if you're having troubles, if you feel weak in the faith, all you've got to do is talk to God about it. And my friends, and He'll help you. He'll strengthen you. Why, He may even give you something to do that you feel like, I can't do that. But friends, you can if God gives it to you, because God will help you do it. He certainly will. We've all experienced this. I'm not telling you nothing new tonight. 1 Corinthians tells us that our faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. You know, too many times, like old Moses, we think we've got it all figured out. We know how to work. But my friends, God may have something different in mind. He may have a different plan this Sunday than He had last Sunday. No doubt He'll have a different sermon this Sunday than He had last Sunday. If we preach the same sermon over and over and over, no doubt people get tired of hearing that. They'll say, well, I'll go back next week. It'll be the same thing. But friends, God lays something different on our heart. I'm talking preachers now. He'll lay something different on your heart for whatever the need is for that particular day. Knowing that and realizing that, then no doubt even as lay members, He may give us something to do that was different from what He gave us to do the last time. Well, He may have somebody sing a song that's never sung in public before. Can you just imagine just how frightful that would be? Can you imagine how nervous that you would be on that? Certainly, I've done that before. I'm not a singer, but I've had to get up a few times and try to sing for the Lord. And it's a terrible feeling. But I tell you what, when you know that God is in it, and you know that's what God wants you to do, friends, you don't care what it sounds like. You just care about pleasing God. If we depend on ourselves, well, you just wouldn't hear me sing, would you? No, you wouldn't. We don't need to lean on what we know we can do. We need to lean on God and what God can do. Not lean upon our own understanding. Listen, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You know, there's a lot of people, I'm afraid, they're of the opinion that I just need to go to church every now and then. Just every once in a while I need to go back and get my tank filled up. Friends, they travel a little slower than I do. I need to get filled up every week. I need to get filled up every time that the doors are open, because whether it's a Bible study, a prayer meeting, Sunday school, or worship service, friends, when the Word of God is being taught or preached, why, it does me good. It benefits me and it helps me. And I can't understand why some people don't benefit from it like I do, but some people don't. But that's okay, I guess, for them, but it's not okay for me. It shouldn't be okay for you or anybody else, but it is. You know, the world will teach us, and there's many people, and no doubt you've run across them too, that says, if I could see some great miracle, or if I could see God do something in my life, I would believe in Him. And that's what the world tries to teach. I'll believe it when I see it. That's just how a lot of people are. I'll believe it when I see it. You let me see it first, and then I'll believe it. You know, if I had that frame of mind, I'd still be lost and in my sins. If I had to see something first, if I had to see God do something like part the Red Sea, or change the water to wine, or make some cripple walk, or give sight to the blind before I could believe in Him, friends, I wouldn't be here tonight. I'd still be in my sins. But that's what the world teaches. But the Word of God teaches us that I'll see it when I believe it. That's what God wants us to. That's how we walk and live by faith, is I'll see it when I believe it, when we trust in God. How many times, my friends, have you had faith in God that God was going to do something for you or God was going to bless in some way, but you had no evidence whatsoever that it was going to happen? But friends, you was patient and you kept depending on God and you got to see it happen, didn't you? I'll see it when I believe it. That's what the Word of God teaches us. So in order to overcome unbelief, in order to overcome weakness in faith and to depend on God, well, friends, we got to make sure that we're saved. We've got to examine ourselves. And then we've got to pray. And we can't lean on our own understanding. We've got to trust in God. And we've got to listen to the Word of God and believe it, that our faith might be strong. And you know, when we get to that place, my friends, I believe we're going to see some great blessings. I believe our churches will be filled with the Spirit and the power of God. You know, there's times, my friends, when you can walk in the church house, and as soon as you walk in the doors, you know people's been praying because you can feel the Spirit of God. There's times when you walk in, and I think, boy, I should have been praying. You know, there's a difference there. You can tell it when you come in the house of God. There's a time, you know, in your lives when you've been a praying while you're close to God. Why, you ain't afraid of nothing that comes your way. The troubles and the trials and the heartaches that you deal with, why, they just run off your back because you're leaning on God and depending on Him. And friends, that's what we need to do. This father, he knew God could work miracles. He might have seen some, I don't know. He knew that he could do great things, but he just had a little bit of doubt. I wonder if you could do anything for me. And friends, sometimes we get that way, don't we? We certainly do. Let us pray. Let us listen to the Word of God. Let us lean on the Lord and look to Him for our help and for our strength. I thank you for listening to me tonight. May God bless you.